Thank you. So we start with the discussion. Perhaps Vladimir, you come back. And Andras Perger, who was so nice as to join us on last call because Zsuzsa is sick, so I'm very happy that we can discuss this. I have to admit, I'm not completely clear on everything right now. Perhaps you, Andras, could quickly... this was mentioned at the end, the framework contract. I only heard now that reprocessing is considered possible for fuel from spent fuel from PAKSH 2, but is also storing, interim storing, other types of storing mentioned or possible? That's what I have not really understood yet, I have to admit.
I'm going to continue in Hungary because it would be easier for me. Vladimir, do you understand Hungarian or are you comfortable? Can you manage? Elnézést, vagy bonyolult dolgokról fogok beszélni, és ez nekem kényelmesebb akkor magyarul. Sorry, this is kind of complicated in Hungarian. Because we are talking about, you know, it's agreements and legal stuff. It's much easier for me in Hungarian. Remélem, hogy akkor tudjuk folytatni. És igen, tehát amennyire az emlékeim megengedik, a magyar-orosz, orosz-magyar nemzetközi megállapodásban az szerepel a PAKSH 2-ről szóló megállapodásban, hogy Magyarország szállíthat kiégett üzemanyagot Oroszországba, amit ott aztán vagy reprocesszálnak, vagy 20 évig tárolnak. Nem ezt mondja, hogy 20 évig tárolják, hanem annyi ideig tárolják ott azt a hulladékot, amennyi ideig az üzemanyag beszállítási szerződés szólt. Tehát mondjuk 20 évre köt Magyarország és Oroszország friss üzemanyag szállítási szerződést a PAKSH 2-höz, akkor ezeket az üzemanyagokat ennyi ideig veszik át, és ott tárolják, vagy reprocesszálják, és itt egy kicsit egyre ködösebbé válik, hogy mi lesz ezeknek az üzemanyagoknak a sorsa, hogy a reprocesszálás utáni maradékot, milyen mennyiségű hulladékokat, és a reprocesszálásból származó anyagokat milyen mértékben küldik utána vissza Magyarországra. De maga a szerződés nem sem egyértelműsíti, hogy mi fog történni ezzel a hulladékkal, csak annyit mond, hogy reprocesszálásra vagy tárolásra.
Okay, so thank you. So if I understood it now, finally the framework says it's will be reprocessed and stored, or reprocessed, or stored?
Yes. Igen, és nincs most előttem a szerződés, de hogy nagyjából igényelt erről van szó, hogy nem fogalmaz teljesen, nem derül ki egyértelműen a szerződésből, mi fog következni, mi fog történni ezzel a nem hulladék, tudjuk, nem hulladék, hanem a kiégett üzemanyagokkal, mi fog történni Oroszországban. De az egészen biztosnak tűnik, hogy végső megoldást nem jelent Magyarország számára, mert nagy valószínűséggel, amit oda küldünk, az nagy valószínűséggel vissza fog jönni majd Magyarországra valamilyen formában.
Yeah, of course, it's obviously not a final solution, but I mean, if I would now ask you two, now that we know as much as we can know, it looks like, to imagine how they could proceed now. Because obviously, I mean, PAKSH 2, as you said, according to schedule, should be starting operating in 2016. Whether we believe it or not is not the topic, but let's assume they must have a plan for that. So they start producing spent fuel, then they have it 5 years stored next to the reactor, I would assume, in some cooling ponds next to the reactor, and after 5 years and so on, they have to take it out. So and then they would have to start transporting it by some magic route. Attila Assodi would not tell us last time in Vienna. They have no problem transporting it via Ukraine. Let's even assume this would be true. And then the question is, under what pretext do they get this into Russia? Because if there is no reprocessing by that time, they cannot say it's for reprocessing. And is there then the option for storing it? And then I discussed this quickly with Mr. Gariba before, and then I said, so do you think that the reprocessing in Mayak fulfills the conditions of this much-discussed directive? I don't know, Gabi, what it says now exactly. It has to be comparable safety conditions. And of course, everyone knows Mayak. It's not famous, but infamous. And he said, no, there is no problem. I said, but wait a minute, it's famous, isn't it? Yeah, but reprocessing is not covered by the directive. Okay, so you want to say something, Vladimir?
Well, how long would it take, you think, to build Pakshtu? 15 years? 10 years? Well, my point is you have to build it for next, I don't know how much, 10, 15 years. Then you have to keep it in cooling pools for some time. And then you sort of can transport it for reprocessing. I'm pretty sure in 25 years, Mayak will be closed down. As far as I understand, or as far as I know, there is no new reprocessing facility at the moment under construction. So it's way hard to say if in 20 years there will be any kind of reprocessing in Russia, and what kind of reprocessing, if it will there. Of course, legislation can be changed as well in 20 years. And today it says spent fuel can be imported for reprocessing and associated storage. That means that they can keep it for some time, but then in the end they have to reprocess it and send the waste back. It's not specified in law how long they can keep it and what is associated storage for reprocessing. The only thing that is clear that in the end it must be reprocessed and then waste must be sent back. So we sort of on very shaky ground here. We do not really know what will exist and what will not exist in 20 years in Russia. I mean, we don't know what will happen in 1 year in Russia. 20 years is like, you know, is almost like 1,000 years today. It's very hard to predict. I would risk to say that we will not have reprocessing in 20 years at all. For one very simple reason, it's economically doesn't make any sense. I'm not speaking now about France or UK. I better leave it to people from those countries. But in Russia, it's very clear that Mayak exists not because it can make money. It exists because government wants it to exist and the nuclear industry wants it to exist. But unless there will be a renovation and a new facility for reprocessing of spent fuel, the existing one, I'm pretty sure will be dead in 20 years. I mean, it's already worn out. It's pretty old. It was started in 1979. In 20 years, it definitely will be just closed down. So the question is really whether there will be new reprocessing facility in Russia or not. So far, there is none. What will happen in 20 years, who knows?
Annyival egyeztelem még ki, hogy az eredeti szerződésben ugye 20 évről beszéltek, ugye 20 évről volt szó, hogy annyi ideig szállíthat Oroszország friss fűtőelemet majd Paks 2-be. Ugye ezt a részét a szerződésnek, mint a megállapodásnak az Európai Bizottság kifogásolta, és ha jól remélik, akkor ugye 10 évben limitálták azt a időszakot, amennyi időben garantáltan lehet Oroszországnak ígérni ezt a lehetőséget, hogy a üzemanyagot szállítson. De itt is van bizonytalanság, mert ugye az 1002-es reaktorokban más nem tud üzemanyagot gyártani, egyelőre csak az oroszok. De innentől kezdve ugye az is világos, hogy ha a 10 évre van biztos szerződésünk Oroszország üzemanyag szerződésre, akkor csak 10 évig fogják nekünk a tosztot tárolni. Ha valóban a kiküldésre fog kerülni, vagy tényleg kiküldik ezt a hulladékot, de azt meg kell említenem, hogy a maga megállapodás csak lehetőségként említett. Ez nem egy kötelezettség, ha jól rémlik, hogy Magyarország majd biztosan ki fogja oda küldeni a hulladékot, de a lehetőséget biztosítja a szerződés. Ezzel együtt is a bizonytalanságok száma az nem csökkent azáltal, hogy a Unió 10 évben limitálta ezt a lehetőséget.
Yeah, so but for me also this discussion about the interim storage, if it's really difficult to have interim storage or it doesn't fit all these rumors, then there is only the Russian option, which actually, if I understood it properly, works only if they have a reprocessing, because you cannot import waste just for storing it. So then it's too, I mean, the fair politically it means that for Paks 2, they don't have a solution even on paper, which I think is quite impressive, because usually paper works. So, or is it that I misunderstood something?
I don't know. Was it a stupid
question? Yeah, it doesn't look like there is any solution.
Yeah, but that's impressive. By nuclear lobby standards, there is no solution.
Yeah, sorry. No, exactly. It seems that not even on paper there is a solution by which nuclear lobby reached a really new high, because they, as we know, they have fusion constantly. All so I mean that they for the first time would really admit, even in their own thinking, there is no solution for something they're going to build now. I mean in 2016, like this, I still try to understand it. So please, if again, the problem is this interim storage. Why is it not simply, why don't they say, yeah, we build the interim storage like everybody else? This is no high tech, as everyone knows. You just put it there in these casks. And nowadays there is higher standards, at least in Germany, but whatever. So you can always build the interim storage. Why do they not do so?
Igen, annyit tudnék talán még hozzátenni ehhez, hogy a környezeti hatásvizsgálat, illetve tanulmány, az hát ugyancsak az előadásban szerepelt végül is, hogy hát meglehetősen bizonytalanságban hagyott mindenkit azzal a kérdéssel, hogy mi is lesz ennek a hulladéknak a sorsa, illetve a kiégett üzemanyagoknak a sorsa. Gyakorlatilag kaptunk egy ilyen ígéretszerűséget, hogy majd lesz majd valami ott a Paksi kerítésen belül, ami egy valami épület lesz esetleg, vagy valami más, ahol valamilyen technológia lesz, ahogy majd ott fogják kezelni ezeket a kiégett üzemanyagokat. Egy kiegészítést végül is csatoltak tavaly nyáron a hatásvizsgálati anyaghoz, amelyben példálozó jelleggel bemutattak egy amerikai technológiát. Tehát akár az is lehet, hogy valami más milyen lesz, nem tudjuk, hogy milyen lesz. És ami nagyon érdekes még ezzel összefüggésben, hogy az sem derült ki, hogy ez milyen szervezeti keretek között fogják ezt kezelni. Jelenleg ugye az történik, hogy ez egy négyes blokkoknak a hulladékával, vagy a kiégett üzemanyagaival, hogy átadják a radioaktív hulladékokat kezelő KFT-nek, és a Paksi telephelyen belül tulajdonképpen van a kiégett kazetták átmeneti tárolója, és akkor onnantól kezdve, Kerek úr rázza a fejét, de majd pontosít, abban az épületben helyezik el ezeket néhány évtizedre. De jelen pillanatban igazán meg az sem látszik, hogy egy ilyen típusú szervezeti megoldás ez hogy fog kinézni, és az sem, ami végképp nem látszik, hogy ezt ki fogja finanszírozni, hogyan fogjuk ezt finanszírozni, kinek a felelősség lesz, hogy ezt forrásokat biztosítson, és a többi, és a többi. Ezekkel kapcsolatban továbbra is ugyanilyen bizonytalanságokat terhelt ez az egész történet, és ahogy láttuk az eladásból, hogy sajnos még maga a hatóság sem kérte ezt igazán a beruházótól, hogy legyen szíves mutassa be ezeket a terveket, hanem megelégszik azzal, hogy majd valamikor később rájönnek ezt bemutatni, annak ellenére, hogy például a Nemzeti Program az kifejezetten megkívánná ezt a dolgot.
Okay, yeah. So the only last question I put, then we all ask questions is, I mean, there is always a discussion, exactly as you say, about environmental impact assessments and documents they had to deliver there. But this cannot be the only source of information and the only thing that the investor has to deliver before they start building. There must be other plans, because if they keep it out of the environmental impact assessment, saying they make an environmental impact assessment for the interim storage, then this is obviously wrong, but yeah, possible. Don't they have to announce their plans to other authorities, or is this only what's coming?
Gyakorlatilag a hatásvizsgálati eljárás keretében azt az információt kaptuk, hogy ezzel tulajdonképpen nem kell foglalkozni sem a beruházónak, sem a hatóságnak, hiszen az átmeneti tárolónak az engedélyezése az egy külön eljárás keretében fog majd megtörténni. Ahhoz egy külön hatásvizsgálati eljárás kell lefolytatni, egy külön nukleáris biztonsági engedélyezést kell lefolytatni, tehát hogy ebben az eljárásban részletesen nem kell erről beszámolni. Én igazán nem látom az okát, hogy miért ne lehetne. Tehát, ha vannak tervek, mert vannak konkrétumok, akkor ezeket nyugodtan meg lehetne osztani, de csak mondjuk így ilyen víziókat, ilyen ködös víziókat kaptunk.
Okay, I think I got it. Yeah, so are there more questions on this? Or you want to say something before that? No. No, okay. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't ask you, but yes, this was the plan. I give up now. I understand it now, I think, as far as possible. I got it now.
Thank you. My name is Paolo Sebi, and I've got a few questions to Mr. Stylian. You mentioned in your presentation that Rosatom is a 100% government-owned organization, but the shares can be sold whenever, as you said. Depending on how the government decides to do so. In connection with that, I would like to ask you, do you think that this can be a real option, that the government would never sell the shares of the Rosatom, which is a part of the military organization? It sounds to me very, very, very strange. It sounds like, let's say, the United States government would sell Pentagon or something. So it's a little bit strange. And I found some additional information concerning the repressing activities in Russia. It says that, it's written here that Rosatom hopes to fully close the nuclear fuel cycle by 2030. And they are planning to build a new reprocessing facility, which is called RT2, at Zhelezhnogorsk. And that facility would be completed to reprocess all EVR, erbium, K, and BN used fuel into mixed oxide, MOX fuel, or into redox fuel. Besides, until the this facility would be put into operation in 2022, roughly 40,000 tons of spent fuel will be accumulated. But Rosatom is planning that all those materials from this will be burned largely in fast reactors by 2050. and no one should remain. Okay, so I'm not really very much sure that all of this information is valid, but I would like to ask you to comment it. But anyway, if it is true, the Russians are planning to build a new processing facility by 2022. And according to the budgetary plans, it will be put into operation in 2025. So, and one more additional information, let me find it here, yeah. The existing processing facility is a subject to upgrade to enable the plant to take BBRs 1,000 fuel, and it was completed this year. And the processing of fuel from Rostov nuclear power plant, which operates with such nuclear fuel, is due to operation by the end of this year.
What was the first question? Okay. No, it was
shares.
Yeah.
Shares.
Think about shares. Before 2007, nuclear industry was basically part of the government. So there was the Ministry of Nuclear Power, and it was never a company, any kind of a company. Most of the time, including Soviet times, it was just Ministry of Atomic Power, and everything belonged to a government, was just governmental, there was nothing about shares or anything, it was just governmental. It couldn't be sold, it was governmental property. In the middle of 2000s, if I'm correct, 2004, ministry became federal agency, which means was downscaled, but still it was governmental property. And by that time, I was involved in a discussion that was happened in the Ministry of Economic Development in Russia about privatization of the nuclear industry, and there was the draft law, which was sent from Ministry of Atomic Power or from Federal Agency of Atomic Power by that time to different ministries for discussion. So I just know about the process which was going on, the process of discussing how to privatize nuclear power industry, in which way, which was going on around 2004-2005. Then this plan was cancelled. And then by 2007, ministry and then agency was disbanded. So, and instead of a ministry and instead of a minister of atomic power, we got State Nuclear Corporation Rosatom and the director of a State Nuclear Corporation Rosatom, not the minister, but just like a head of a company, right? A company has a shares. If this whole transformation wouldn't be targeting a final sale of shares sometimes in the future, then it's not really clear why would government, Russian government, decide to disband federal agency and establish basically a company with shares instead of it. There is also a number of very interesting changes from a legal point of view when we talk about transformation from federal agency, means part of the government, into a separate company called State Corporation. Like, for example, nuclear reactors in all different facilities that owned by Rosatom previously belonged to a government. Now they belong to a company. For now, it's a governmental company, but it has the shares. If government decides tomorrow to, like, recently our government decided to sell our biggest oil company, Rosneft. Shares were sold to partly to Glencore and another part to some investors from Qatar. I could easily imagine something could happen, something like that could happen to Rosneft. Because things like that happening at the moment in Russia. We don't have enough money, we are in a very deep economic crisis, actually a deepest economic crisis since the collapse of the Soviet Union, and our government really started to sell. They just sold to Rosneft, largest oil company. So yeah, I think at some point it could be sold, and actually I think one of the reasons behind this huge number of orders Rosatom is talking about, like they would have orders for dozens of new reactors across the world, which in reality are not really contracts, but mostly like very general framework agreements with different governments. One good reason for this could be to create bigger price of this company, because company that has order for 5 reactors is definitely going to be much cheaper than company having orders for 25 reactors. So that could be a reason behind it. I mean, I don't have any information that Russian government prepared to sell it right now, but well, the transition we've seen through the last 10 years, or that happened almost 10 years ago, from my point of view, shows that Russian government prepared to sell Rosatom, and it can sell it quickly once it decides so. Well, again, I don't know if they decide and when they decide, but it's possible. It wouldn't be possible if there would be federal agency of atomic power or a ministry of atomic power, but with state corporation, it's possible to sell shares. Absolutely. Why to have shares if you are not planning to sell them? About reprocessing, there is a lot of those rosy plans that you can read on Rosatom websites or in some publications based on information from Rosatom. When I'm saying about reprocessing, I mean that RT2 that you mentioned in Krasnoyarsk was originally, its construction was originally started in 1980. By 1989, either 88 or 89, the construction was stopped because people on the local level in Krasnoyarsk voted on the local referendum against construction of RT2. Since it happened, there was, I remember, at least 3 attempts when Rosatom was standing up and saying, oh, we're going to complete RT2. Definitely. In a couple of years, it's going to work. You know, it didn't happen until today. I mean, again, of course I don't know what will happen in 2022. But what I know is that expenses of Rosatom were cut down pretty much. This starting from this year, the governmental funding for Rosatom is going down and down and down, and for the next 5 years it will be smaller, smaller and smaller, and that was planned long time ago. It's not even a result of a crisis we're having today. That was a governmental plan from the beginning of forming state corporation. The plan from the beginning was that like the first decade after Rosatom formed, government is pumping a lot of money from a budget to like create big and expensive company. But after 10 years, funding is going smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller because enough money already put into it from a budget, and Rosatom already expected to have a lot of a profit. So funding is going down. It was recently announced that this year was announced that this big and beautiful program of building fast neutron reactors BN-800, BN-1200, and there was also planned to build BN-1600, actually to burn those waste and to burn uranium-plutonium fuel. Well, this year was announced, it's postponed after 2030. So, just because I see a lot of signs of the economic crisis also in the nuclear industry related to their projects, to what they announced in the past, and looking into their announcements about delays on basically every new project that they were playing, I'm very skeptical that this plan you was reading will definitely be implemented at the time frame that was decided some time ago. I think at least time frames will be changed for much later time, like with fast neutron reactors already changed. And it's just my analysis that, one thing is rosy pictures and the propaganda on the websites, and another thing is a real construction, which is not often happening the way it was planned. That's my opinion.
Just a small correction. You mentioned BN-800 is postponed.
Sorry, the interpreters. One second. No, give it to you.
Just a small correction, you said the BN-800, the fast neutron reactor construction is postponed. That's not really correct because it has put into operation this year.
No. No, it's not operational. It's completed. BN-800 was completed this year, but it doesn't produce, or it's not connected to grid. And it doesn't it's not put into commercial operation because Russia is in crisis, as I said already. It doesn't need additional electricity. We did not shut down any single reactor, and we don't need additional electricity. We actually have way serious overcapacity. So the reactor was completed. It was under construction for more than 30 years. MF5 was left by themselves. What is happening now is that government, which was pumping a lot of money into this reactor, which was under construction for 30 years, made a deal with authorities that control energy generation in Russia about postponing of a commercial operation for at least 1 year because we don't need more electricity. Yes, it's completed, but it's not producing commercial electricity at the moment. What I was saying about postponement is that BN-1200, BN-1600, it's not clear will be built at all. BN-1200 postponed until after 2030.
The same thing about Leningrad nuclear plant. It's also almost,
The same thing about Leningrad nuclear plant. It's it could be concluded this year, and there was also the deal in the government about postponement of a commercial operation. It can start producing electricity today. It doesn't. It maybe will start next year.
If you talk about this Russian crisis right now, how do you see the chances of fulfilling the POKSH agreement between Hungary and Russia? There are also speculations that Russia will not really be able to fulfill all these obligations.
Fortunately, I can answer relatively shortly here. It's clear that Russia cannot extract all the money promised in different countries for different reactors. At the same time, it doesn't mean that Putin would not be able to find money for PAX 2 if he did decides that PAX-2 is absolutely the priority for him, right? So on one hand, yes, we don't have enough money. On the other hand, if Russian government wants PAX-2 to be completed, it can make it completed. The question is, what will be priority? For PAX-2, for other projects, for Finland, for there are rumors about Bulgaria again. But there are sometimes agreements, sometimes even contracts somewhere in Middle Asia, in Asia, in South Africa even. Right? It's very hard to say what of those projects could be made a main priority. I would guess the priority will be funded, but the rest of the projects will not. How much money they will still have to fund those, you know, priority, one priority or two priorities, no one knows. And it's very hard to predict because all Russian economy now depends on the price of oil. If oil will stay low, Russia will be, for several more years at least, in a very deep crisis. And, I don't think it's serious to speak in this case. If Russia will stay in the crisis, I don't think it's serious to speak about like starting new expensive projects paid by Russian government. But the time when it was Russia who was always paying for those reactors basically is gone. It's gone after 2009. In 2009, we first learned that Rosatom is actually going around Europe and asking for money in different banks, which they never did before. They had a lot of money before 2009, and it was quite enough of money for everything they wanted. The real problem for them was not money, but capacity to produce reactors. Because, I mean, Rosatom pretend it can build dozens of reactors in like, I don't know, a decade, but in reality, technically, they cannot produce more than one reactor per year. That's a limitation that they have at the moment. Taking all of those things together, it's really, really unstable situation, I would say. It's not clear how much money Russian government would still give to Rosatom. They will still feed them, but not much from my point of view, because crisis is really big. What kind of priorities they will set for themselves, they don't speak about it openly. There is a lot of if and buts, so it's very hard to say whether there will be money for PAX-2 or will not be money for PAX-2, who knows. I think we will never know until construction really starts, if it starts.
Yeah. Are there more questions? One moment, there is no translation.
Okay. Yeah, it's off. Mine was off.
Mine too, though. What happened? There is something wrong. Can you check, please?
There is no battery.
What?
Battery doesn't.
Already?
No thing. Battery doesn't work.
No, batteries are out in both of these, which is
no. No, it was probably very low in the beginning.
Yeah, but both of us.
Both?
Yeah,
doesn't work. No battery. Or if yours work, you can translate for me.
Need to check, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At least it has a light on, so I guess it's... Yes, seems to be okay now.
Yeah.
Yes, very good, thank you.
Are there any friends when you are tulajdonképpen ez a cég, amely megkapta azt a megbízást, hogy illetve feladatot, hogy Magyarországon kezelje a radioaktív hulladékokat, elhelyezze véglegesen, vagy átmeneti jelleggel megépítse hozzájuk a építményeket, a tárolókat, illetve a cikluszárás és a feladatot. Egy picit visszatérnék az eredeti témájára, és arra kérek mindenkit, hogy koncentráljunk már egy kicsit a radioaktív hulladékokra. Itt nagyon most kettőről kezdtünk el beszélni, nyilván összefügg vele, de alapvetően vannak tények. A tények azok, hogy van radioaktív hulladék, nem csak nálunk, hanem a világ nagyon sok országában, amit kezelnünk kell, tudjuk, hogy nem kis időre, magyarul nekünk is, az unokáinknak, azok unokáinknak is századokon keresztül együtt kell élnünk vele, a jelenlegi tudásunk szerint. És erre kellene koncentrálni, mert úgy gondolom, aki ide jött, az tulajdonképpen hozzá akar tenni ahhoz, hogy egy ilyen problémát jól, biztonságosan a természetet, környezetet, saját magunkat megóvja, tudjuk hosszú távra jósolni, tervezni és végrehajtani. És ezzel összefügg egy kicsit az előadás elején, amikor beszélünk a ugye, nemzeti politikáról és nemzeti programról. Amikor elkezdtünk kidolgozni ugye, az uniós irányelv alapján, akkor még Vas-2-t nem is tudtuk, hogy milyen reaktor fog épülni, milyen típusú lesz. Tehát igazából mi arra koncentráltunk, ami a Paks 1 működése, leszereléséhez kapcsolódik, azoknak a hulladékoknak a kezelésére. Tulajdonképpen a nemzeti program, és pedig a erre alapul. Nyilván ezt felül kell vizsgálni, fölül is kell uniós feladat is, és nyilván bele fog kerülni, hiszen látjuk, hogy bizonyos kérdések még nem is igazán tisztázódtak, reprocesszálás, mennyi ideig lesz átmenetileg kint lesz-e, ezek mind lehetőségek. A programot mi tulajdonképpen a Paks 1-nek a működésére és leszemlésére vonatkoztatva terveztük meg igazán. Nem igazán világos előttem az a homályos kép felvetítés, amely a programot bizonytalannak, hiányosnak ítéli meg. Különböző filozófiák vannak. Mondok egyet, Svédország, Finnország elhatározta, hogy ő biztos, hogy véglegesen elteszi a föld alá a kiégett fűtőelemeket, és nem fog foglalkozni a reprocesszálással. Ők a 70-es évek elején kiküldtek 40 darab fiatalt Amerikába, hogy tanulják meg, hogy kell kutatni, tervezni, és hogyan lesz végrehajtva. Ők megtanulták, és 75-től elkezdték építeni, és most járnak ott, hogy az engedélyt beadták. Az még nem tudom elfogadni, hogy azt mondjuk, hogy a világon még sehol nincs. De nincs ott a mondat folytatása, hogy akkor ne csináljuk semmit. Tehát, hogyha mi minél később kezdjük el, akkor még minél később fogjuk befejezni. Tehát valahol azért vannak beépítve döntési pontok a programba, és mi nem a rétenci, hanem a fluenci elvet valljuk, hogy tennünk kell valahol annak érdekében, hogy ezt a problémát orvosoljuk, ne csak üljük a valamunkon, és várjuk, hogy majd a következő generáció megoldja. Ez egy közös felelősségvállalás kell lehet, és itt nincs az, hogy most építsünk egy reaktort, vagy ne építsünk, hanem az van, hogy van egy probléma az emberiségnek, és ezt valahogy meg kell oldani, és minél világosabban. Mi így látjuk, és azért építünk be döntési pontokat, hogy a tudomány, a technika változhat, hogy rugalmasan kezelni azokat az új találmányokat, vagy kezelési technikákat még be tudjuk időben építeni, és azt afelé fogunk menni. Tehát én így érzem, a nemzeti program megalapozottan készült el arra, hogy Magyarországon ma hogyan kell a radioaktív hulladékokat kezelni, illetve hová fogjuk tenni. És itt kapcsolódok a Paks 2-höz egy kicsit. hiányosak szerintem az ismeretek, hiszen a PAS-2-nek a működése során keletkezett kis- és közepes aktivitású radioaktív hulladékokra megvan a terv. Pátalpátiban egy külön terület, ezen kavramezőktől, ahol most az egyesét tároljuk, tőle délre van egy földtanilag jóvá hagyott terület, ahova ki lehet alakítani azokat a kamrákat, ahol el tudjuk helyezni a PAS-2-nek a hulladékát is. Nyilván a nagy aktivitású radioaktív hulladék kutatási elhelyezésre, kutatási területét, mert úgy, hogy kell kialakítanunk, hogy figyelembe vesszük majd, hogy mennyi hulladék keletkezik, vagy adott esetben kiégett fűtelemet kell majd elhelyezni, nem csak az egyesen, hanem a kettes erőmű esetében is, és úgy kell kialakítanunk a területet.
Ez az, amit
nem tudunk, és tényleg azt mondom, hogy ebben nem tudunk egyességre jutni, hogy van hulladék. Tehát erről gondoskodnunk kell. És ez nem arról szól, hogy kell-e második erőmű, vagy nem, higgyék el. Nekünk ez a feladatunk, hogy a meglévő hulladékokat kezeljük és eltegyük. Lehet azt válaszolni, hogy nem kell vele semmit csinálni, és majd megoldják egyszer valamit. Viszont mi viseljük, illetve mi használjuk fel azt az energiát, amit tulajdonképpen kapunk. És ez bármilyen energia terveléken így lenne. Következő a lakossággal való kapcsolat. Nem igazán tudok ezzel sem egyetérteni, hogy csak a környező lakossággal, hiszen a törvény nekünk kötelezően előír egy általános tájékoztatót mindenki számára, amit adott esetben megjelentünk vagy a honlapunkon, vagy hozzáférést biztosítunk a mért eredményekhez az ország valamennyi területén lévő lakosnak. A törvény úgy fogalmaz, hogy ezen felül részletesen benne is tájékoztatunk a befogadó települést és a környező lakosságot. Erről szól a törvényünk. Ezt a kiegészítést hadd tegyen meg, mert úgy ez egy picit rendbe kell tenni ezt a problémát.
Köszönöm. Okay. It's also this problem, not if it's okay also for the interpreters to continue a little bit longer than 2:30. I just would like to quickly react. Just one thing, I'm very surprised to hear that you don't know how much nuclear waste will come out of a nuclear plant, which is already known. This I find slightly disturbing. But and what I also would like to add, the difference between putting information on a website, which everyone can look into, which is of course true, obviously, and effective participation. And I think this is meant when we criticize the fact that this is only available for people in the near surrounding. Of course, something like nuclear waste and repository and everything we discussed all day long is of course a national issue where everyone should have the possibility to participate. Okay, we should perhaps... You want to say something? Sorry.
Just give the floor to
us. Yeah, so I think we would collect the last few questions and then answer them if necessary and then close the event, if that's okay. Is there more questions? I have to rush off to
the toilet. Okay. Én is magyarul beszélnék most is, elnézést kérek, nem igazán kérdezek, csak hozzátennék valamit az elhangzottakhoz. Hóbor József vagyok, délnyugat Magyarországról, Bécsről, mert eddig beszéltünk a magyar végleges fűtelemtároló tervéről, tervezetben akkor Roldáról, nem, hogy ez hol lenne. Tehát ez délnyugat Magyarországon lenne, és szó volt az Energia Klub prezentációjában arról is, hogy kis települések társulását hozták létre, amelyek kapcsolatban állnak a beruházóval, tehát az RHK-val. De azt hiszem, arról nem volt szó, hogy ezek a kis települések alvóvárosai egy 150 ezeres nagyvárosnak,
Pécsnek. Pécssel semmiféle hivatalos kapcsolat nem volt hosszú ideig, tehát gyakorlatilag nem volt része a társulásnak. Holott ez egy olyan város, ahol amelyik nyugdíjét a felsőoktatásra, az egészségügyre, a kultúrára, a turizmusra tervezte. Magyarán az externális hatásait, gazdasági, társadalmi hatásait ennek a projektnek tulajdonképpen mind a mai napig nem vizsgálja senki, csak a technikai aspektusokat. Politikai akcióra volt szükség ahhoz, aláírásgyűjtésre és egy helyi politikai csata megnyilvására, amelyben civil szervezetek és a helyi zöld párt, az LMP is részt vett, amelynek én akkor képviselője voltam, hogy aláírásgyűjtéssel kikényszerítettük a polgármestertől, hogy Pécsett is legyen közmeghallgatás. Tehát Kereki Őr és az RHK akkor jelent meg Pécsen, és hivatalosan a Városházán akkor adták elő először a projektet. Tehát tulajdonképpen az átláthatóságot ki kell kényszeríteni, méghozzá minél nagyobb helyiségben, minél nagyobb településen vagyunk, annál inkább politikai akcióval. Ezt szerettem volna csak hozzátenni.
Marcin Haramski, Civil Nuclear Monitor and Association Commoners. Maybe first one small comment. I would highly recommend to read an article by Jan Haverkamp from one and a half year ago, I think, which is posted at the Nuclear Transparency Watch on the first transport of spent nuclear fuel to Russia back in like two years ago, I think, and the route took. And specifically to Mayak, it was a historical spent nuclear fuel, and he describes how the whole entrepreneurship was irresponsible on the part of the Hungarian government, because the route took place along the most vulnerable ways through the Ukraine, most likely, which exactly we did not know, we still don't know. This is one thing. The article is posted on the Nuclear Transparency Watch website, and this relates to my other idea about how we manage with the nuclear waste so far, which is we deal with long time frames, but we also have to take care in mind that we do not exacerbate the situation now with it. For example, one of such situations are the transports and the dangers related to it, and specifically. Sometimes the transports take place by planes. I think it's quite unusual to the opinion, public opinion. The information is quite unusual to the public opinion. I think it's quite dangerous to take spent fuel by planes. But in fact, it was the case in the Polish situation where the last batch of the spent nuclear fuel this year in like two months ago, I think, was taken by the plane. Maybe if I was to ask a question, do you have any information on the latest status to Vladimir, on the latest status of this GTRI, Global Threat Reduction Initiative, by which the countries with the research reactors can take the spent fuel to Mayak? Okay, thank you.
Let me clarify finally the fast reactor issue. I found a relatively late news, and it is written here that the BN-800 fast neutron reactor was reached the 100% power on 17th of August, And the news was dated on November the 1st this year, and it said the Russian BN-800 unit enters commercial operation. So let's stick with the facts if we are talking about something.
Well, you can show it to me. I don't know from where you take this information. All I can propose to you, I'm coming back. I'm sending you links to official information. You can see it for yourself. I mean, really, let's stop arguing. I don't even know what's your sources. I mean, if you're interested, I can send you official information. About research reactor fuel, as far as I understand, there is agreement between Russia and the U.S. About taking all those reactor fuel from around the world, and part of it is taken by the U.S. and part of it is taken by Russia from different countries. And example, I was talking previously about Germany, which was going to send, as far as I understand, was actually reactor fuel from German Democratic Republic, actually, from a reactor in Luxembourg. I'm not sure that if there is anything else. I just don't know if Russia and the U.S. agreed to take this research reactor fuel.
Is the same as that?
I'm sorry, can I just say? The gentleman said the source was World Nuclear News. Do you think that it's an unbiased source?
Well,
but you can find the same information on many other sites.
I mean we have different sources of information. I don't think it's a big problem. I just proposed that I was not very long time ago doing report on EU reactors, and I can just send links to official information. That is coming not from World News Service, that is not Russian, but coming from Russian authorities. I think it's a base solution.
Anybody else? Is there any more urgent questions? No, so then I would thank our speakers. I think I found out a lot of things I wanted to know. I hope you also found it interesting, and thanks for being here till the very end. And also still want to stay, we spent another hour here networking and discussing in smaller groups, so you're welcome to stay on.
Jó, Petrának. Jó, Petrának.